Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah. Hayya الصلاه حيا الفلاح حيا الفلاح الصلاه خَيْرٌ مِنَ النَّوْمِ الصَّلَاةُ خَيْرٌ مِنَ النَّوْمِ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ لَا إِلَهَ أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
آمين آمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brothers and sisters, and once again, Ramadan Mubarak. This is your brother Abdul Muthakir Muhammad, doing my best to welcome you to the Ummah Reflects, our podcast where we strive to help and aid the believers to get off to a good start each morning during the blessed month of Ramadan. We want to thank you for joining us, and we pray that Allah will guide the words of our guest speakers to aid us all in our growth and development as believers in Allah. Oh, brothers and sisters, we were blessed to hear from our student minister, Abdul Aleem Ansari Muhammad, out of Houston yesterday, and his spirited words with us, encouraging us to be better as Muslims. We thank our brother for his words with us yesterday. We thank Allah for our guest speaker today. To take us further into our program will be our sister, Sister and Dr. Nisa Islam Muhammad. Sister Nisa.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the last part of this historical segment I have been doing called We Know Occupation, Blacks in Palestine. The Black community's support for Palestine, from the early days of the Nation of Islam to the Black Lives Matter movement in Ferguson, demonstrates a deep sense of unity based on common experiences of systemic oppression. The historical convergence of these movements demonstrates a dedication to fairness, fundamental freedoms, and the acknowledgement of interrelated battles for emancipation. The connection between the Nation of Islam's early calls to support Palestine in the midst of Black intellectuals' support for Israel and the activism of Black Lives Matter in Ferguson can be attributed to the recognition that the quest for Black freedom and Palestinian self-governance are intertwined. Both movements arise from a shared battle against systemic violence, prejudice, and dispossession. The Nation of Islam established a fundamental basis for critiquing America and demonstrating unity between Black people and Palestine. The nation has historically connected international fights for fairness and self-governance. Malcolm X traveled to Gaza and wrote articles about Zionism. Muhammad Ali, world-renowned boxer and member of the Nation of Islam, visited a Palestinian refugee camp in southern Lebanon. Ali was an outspoken critic of U.S. imperialism and expressed strong solidarity with the Palestinian people and their pursuit for liberation. Ambassador Andrew Young was forced to resign after meeting with the Palestine Liberation Organization, and journalist Mark Lamont Hill was fired from CNN for his comments about Palestine at the UN. The tales of oppression between Blacks in Palestine may vary in precise details, but the overall themes of marginalization, state violence, and resistance link these movements in a collective goal of equality and human dignity. The alliance between Blacks and Palestinians has enhanced comprehension of world battles against subjugation, but has also highlighted dominant power systems that sustain inequity. The support of the Palestinian cause by the Black community demonstrates the power of intersectional unity and the need to promote a future that is fair and inclusive. This morning, we are doing a throwback to Student Minister Nuri Muhammad. Welcome, Brother Nuri.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. We are eternally grateful to Allah for his merciful intervention in our affairs in the person of Master Farouk Muhammad. We thank him for raising up in our midst his messenger Messiah, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we are thankful to Allah for these two hands, two minds, two hearts coming together to form for us a divine leader, a divine teacher, and a divine guide in this dispensation of time, in the person of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is in their names, my wonderful, beautiful, believing brothers and sisters, that I greet you in the greeting words of peace, of Assalamu Alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. My assignment today that I've been given is to take a few ayats from today's reading and see if we can unpack the variables of those ayats that it may give us more strength, not only for Ramadan, but for our walk in Islam from this day forward. Today we are taking from our reading, in the very early part of our reading, from Surah 25, verse 30. It reads these words, "And the messenger will say, My Lord, surely my people treat this Quran as a forsaken thing, and thus have we made for every prophet an enemy from among the guilty, and sufficient is thy Lord as a guide and a helper. And those who disbelieve say, Why has not the Quran been revealed to him all at once, thus, that we may strengthen thy heart thereby, and we have arranged it well in arranging, and they cannot bring thee a question, but we have brought thee the truth and the best explanation." Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is talking to Allah about the relationship that the community that he is delivering a message to has to this glorious book called Holy Quran. A few verses before, the people were expressing great regret for going astray, great regret from yielding to temptation, great regret from accepting Shaitan, Satan, or the devil as a friend. This book, Holy Quran, Allah is telling us through the prophet, he's telling us that if they had just stayed in their Holy Quran, they could have escaped the regret of going astray, yielding to temptation, and allowing their enemy, Satan, to become their friend and take them off the path. Master Father Muhammad, this book, Holy Quran, Master Father Muhammad gave the most honorable Elijah Muhammad 104 books. And he, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, said the best of them was the Holy Quran. When the most honorable Elijah Muhammad mounted the rostrum, he only had one book in his hand, and it was the Quran. In fact, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad said these words about the power found in the book, Holy Quran. He said, if you want to talk to Allah, read your Quran. Then he said, when you get into trouble, nurse from your Holy Quran. Well, we know from the mouth of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad that he said that my mouth is not made to speak idle words, but the will of Allah. So for him to use the term nurse, he chose this term nurse as our relationship with the Holy Quran out of divine guidance and from the will of Allah. The definition of nurse means to feed from, to use, consume, or dispense very slowly or carefully, to keep steadily in mind or memory. Babies nurse. And each time a baby nurses, the bond of the mother and child gets closer and closer. What's in the mother's milk, sisters and brothers, is not just water, protein, carbohydrates, and fat, but the mother's mind is also in that milk, as her thoughts produce a chemical reaction that mixes with the milk that is in her breast. Likewise, the Holy Quran is not just scriptural history. Allah's mind is in it. In the Holy Quran, Allah gives us four things that we should do to help us to properly nurse from the Holy Quran. It says to read the Holy Quran, ponder the Holy Quran, meditate on the Holy Quran, and to recite it. The only picture we have of Master Father Muhammad is a profile picture of him reading from the Holy Quran. In a February 2020 article in the Psychology Today magazine, they said this about reading. Reading stimulates the brain and keeps it active, which allows it to retain its power and capacity. Reading is different than hearing, for when you hear, you listen. And when you listen, you use one faculty. But when you read, not only do you use your sight, but you also hear the words that you are looking at, doubling the absorption capacity of the mind. Not only do you get the knowledge of the author when you read, but you also take on the author's spirit, attitude, and disposition toward the subject. Man, imagine being able to just read the Holy Quran, and even if you don't remember all of the information the knowledge and wisdom found in it, you still are able to absorb that spirit, attitude, and disposition of the author, which is God himself. Ponder. Ponder means to consider something deeply or thoroughly, to weigh carefully in the mind, consider thoughtfully. Allah tells us that we should ponder over the Quran. Think on it deeply. Meditate. Well, when you meditate, you think, reflect, contemplate. And the more you think, reflect, and contemplate, the more curious you become about what you study. And then you think on it even when you're not looking at it. And by meditating or thinking on it when you're not looking at it, the qualities and the significance of what you meditate on become more significant to you. Last thing it says for us to do with this glorious book, Holy Quran, is to recite it. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan just said a few days ago that if the words of Allah are in your mouth, the mind of Allah is in your heart. Recite. Recite the Holy Quran. This can be done whether you are around someone to teach or whether you are just by yourself. In the Navy Mental Toughness Program, they state that speaking out loud positive commands overrides the amygdala's ability to activate fear and doubt, which restricts, slow down, or stop progress. Man, imagine if they're in the Navy seeing the power of just reciting a few positive mantras can override the amygdala's ability to generate fear and doubt. What would happen if they studied the believer reciting the Holy Quran? Reciting also, according to them, is a psychoneuromotor function that activates in the brain what's called the reticular activation system, which is a part of the nervous system that makes you unconsciously work toward and find resources to fulfill whatever you're thinking about. You impress whatever you think about on your mind by reciting it, which forces the mind to work 24 hours a day to achieve that end or objective. In closing, sisters and brothers, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, nurse from this Holy Quran, nurse from it. Allah tells us in the Holy Quran four ways that we can practice nursing properly. He says, meditate, ponder, read, recite. In our Supreme Wisdom lessons, it tells us in the problem book, one of the rewards that we will be given as the best winner, it uses the language, is a pocket Quran or a home Quran or a family Quran. Well, I've seen a pocket Quran and I've seen a regular size Quran, but I haven't seen a Quran that you can call a home Quran or a family Quran. This is not a sign that when we solve the problems of life, problems in the problem book, that we're going to get different sizes of a Quran. But the size of our understanding of the Quran we already have will grow. And when that meditation, when that pondering, when that reading, reciting, when that nursing from the Quran becomes our habit, not only will it water the soul and save the mind and save the being, but it will also be a source that we can fix our home life, our family life. And yes, the reward, even pocket Quran, we can even fix our pocket. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for giving me this time on this wonderful platform. As I greet you in peace, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Nuri. Such powerful words. Thank you. Thank you for your words with us and nursing the Holy Quran from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. All praises are due to Allah. We will now have the Umar report, and it will be done by parliamentary member Mahari Black.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Now, I want to begin with something that Frankie Boyle actually said. And he pointed out that it makes no sense to say that the situation in Gaza is too complex for a ceasefire, because ceasefire is one of the oldest and simplest terms to understand. It means stop firing. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's so simple that it's actually designed to be heard and understood in the middle of a literal battle. So there is no middle ground when it comes to a ceasefire. You either follow the order or you don't. You either stop firing or you don't. Yep. Now, during the 2014 crisis, there was an estimated 2,251 Palestinian deaths. The then Prime Minister rightly called for an immediate and unconditional ceasefire. Yep. But if we fast forward 10 years to the current conflict, we have a death toll of nearly 30,000. And that's not including the bodies that have yet to be recovered from underneath the rubble.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet the very same man, now Foreign Secretary, is failing to support a ceasefire. And that nearly 70,000 people have also been injured. So according to Amnesty International, the death rate in Gaza right now is one death every 4 minutes. It won't just be bombs that are killing Palestinians, it's poor sanitation and malnutrition as well now. We know that people are starving, people being reduced to eating grass and animal feed. In January, last month, over half of all aid deliveries were denied access and could not get through to those who currently need it. Less than half of hospitals in Gaza are even partially functioning, and the few that are will quickly run out of supplies unless Israel allows aid through.
Yep.
Now, since 2008, Israel have refused entry to any UN agency individuals, which to me is a giant red flag in and of itself. But despite these attempts to shield themselves and hide from any accountability, we know that war crimes are being committed in Gaza.
Yes.
Churches sheltering hundreds of innocent Palestinians being bombed to the ground. There's been strikes against people in refugee camps and hospitals. Just earlier this week, there was reports that Israeli forces ordered the evacuation of a hospital only to start sniper fire on those who attempted to leave, leaving 2,500 folks still trapped in the hospital. Israel's own Minister of Defence said that there would be, and I quote, a complete siege on Gaza. No electricity, no food, no water, no gas. Now, as the occupying power, Israel has an obligation under international law to ensure the basic needs of Gaza's civilian population are met. They are not doing that. Now, the International Court of Justice specifically directed Israel to take immediate and effective measures to enable the provision of basic services and humanitarian assistance. They are not doing that. Yet Israel still refuses to reinstate the water supply they so cruelly shut off months ago. They're stopping medicine getting in, they're stopping food entering Gaza, and despite the growing likelihood of famine that they will have created, they still are not budging. Now, the actions of Hamas, let's be absolutely clear, they were horrific and unjustifiable. But as I said earlier to the Shadow Minister, the people of Palestine are not Hamas. Israel's disproportionate and indiscriminate bombing of civilians, combined with everything else that we know, has got to be the very definition of collective punishment, which, as we all know, is illegal under international law. It's a war crime. And this is why it's so important how this place responds. Because in many respects, the ending of the violence in Gaza rests in the hands of the countries supplying the money and the weapons to Israel. Now, the arms trade treaty bans the sale of weapons where there is a concern that they may be used to breach international law. Well, given the International Court of Justice has found that there's a plausible risk that Israel is committing genocide, it is upon the UK to revoke all arms licences and military equipment to Israel, otherwise we break the own treaties that we've signed up to. Frankly, warm words and platitudes will not cut it. Only action will. Now, that's one death every 4 minutes. And the time that this debate happens today, and we all talk amongst ourselves, 100 more people will be dead that were alive this morning. The least we can do is call for a ceasefire. Because if we don't, we will be morally and directly complicit and every single life lost and every single family destroyed in Gaza. The route to peace, the route to justice, the route to any humane conclusion to this begins with an immediate and unconditional ceasefire, because anything less from us and future generations will quite rightly never forgive us or forget.
Man, thank you, Ms. Black, for your powerful words to us this morning. We will now have our fast fact with our sister once again, Sister and Dr. Nisa Islam Muhammad. Sister Nisa.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear Muslims, we are in the home stretch of Ramadan. Can you believe it? Our fast fact of the day is, it's not too late. I repeat, it's not too late. Even though we are entering the last 10 days, it's not too late to start fasting and praying. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah said, when the racehorse knows that it is nearing the end of the track, it exerts all of its effort to win the race. Do not allow the racehorse to be more clever than you. For verily, deeds are judged by their conclusions. So, if you didn't do well with welcoming Ramadan, then perhaps you will do better bidding it farewell. Ibn Taymiyyah said, the lesson lies in perfection of the conclusion of a thing, not in the shortcomings of the beginning of it. Hassan al-Basri said, improve your performance in what is left of time, and you will be forgiven for that which has already passed. So, take special care of the time you have left, because you do not know when your soul will be turned over to Allah's mercy. They are speaking to all of us who had a rough start, rocky start, and some who haven't started at all. Allah is waiting for you to get with the program and do what Allah commands. Fast, pray, and improve our worship. Reject the thoughts that you aren't worthy or that Allah must not love you. The question is, do you love yourself? Sometimes the answer is no. We do not love ourselves and subject ourselves to all kinds of trauma. Well, that may have been yesterday, but dear believers, let me tell you, today is a new day. It's a new day, and that means another opportunity to get it right. Dear believers, Allah is calling your name. I mean, for real, Allah is calling your name. You are the beloved of Allah. Allah chose you for creation. Let me repeat that. Allah chose you for creation. Those other sperm scurrying up to get meet that egg didn't stand a chance. Allah chose you to be Muslim. That means something. That means Allah wants you to be successful in your worship of Him. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Are the faithful equal to the sinners? They are not equal. As for those who believe and do righteous deeds, for them are the gardens of shelter, a reward for what they used to do. But as for those who transgressed, their home is the fire. Every time they try to get out of it, they will be brought back into it, and it will be said to them, taste the suffering of the fire that you used to deny. We will make them taste the lesser torment prior to the greater torment so that they may return. Quran, Surah 32, Ayah 18 through 21. Consider this, dear Muslims, as you prepare to fast. Focus on the spiritual benefits. Ramadan is a time to deepen our connection with Allah. Imagine the peace and clarity that comes from focusing on prayer, reflection, and gratitude. This is a chance to truly nourish our soul. Think about the rewards that await. Completing a Ramadan fast with sincerity brings immense blessings. So let me break this down. Don't feel pressure to jump into a full fast right away if this will set you up for failure. Maybe start with shorter fasts or focus on increased prayer and charity. Every little bit counts. Ramadan is a journey, not a destination. There will be good days and challenging ones. Be kind to yourself and celebrate your progress, no matter how small. Find your Ramadan rhythm. Ramadan is also a chance to develop healthy habits. Focus on nutritious pre-dawn meals for sahur and energizing evening meals for iftar. You might even discover a love for healthy cooking. Make Ramadan a time for self-care too. Get enough sleep, stay hydrated when you can, and prioritize activities that bring you peace. embrace the community. Ramadan is a beautiful time to connect with loved ones and fellow Muslims. Share iftar meals together, attend Tarawih prayers, and support each other on this journey. Don't be afraid to ask for help or guidance from your community or leaders. They understand your struggles and are there to help you. Remember, you're not alone. Millions of Muslims around the world are fasting with you. This is a global act of devotion and unity. Feel the power of belonging to something bigger than yourself. Most importantly, remember that Allah sees your intentions. Even if you can't fast completely, your sincere effort is deeply valued. Take a deep breath and trust that you have the strength to navigate this Ramadan. It can be a transformative experience. You got this. Remember, Allah loves you and wants you for His own. Our fast fact is, it's not too late. Thank you for listening. Islam is not the problem. Islam is the answer. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Nisa. Thank you for the Nisa report, or the fast fact. It's beautiful. All praises are due to Allah. All right, brothers and sisters, we're coming in on day 21. And on day 21 of our reading, the 21st reading, as charged with chapter 29, verse 45, through chapter 33, verse 30. Surah 29, ayat 45, through Surah 33, ayat 30. We're moving to close our program, and we will ask our brother, Brother Shaheed, once again, would he close us with prayer, Brother Shaheed?
Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. Dear Muslims, let us close with prayer. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. O Allah, we beseech thy help and ask thy protection and believe in thee and trust in thee. And we laud thee in the best manner. We thank thee and we are not ungrateful to thee. And we cast off and forsake him who disobeys thee. Ameen.
Ameen. Thank you, Brother Shaheed, for praying with us this morning. Brothers and sisters, as we close, on behalf of our guest speaker, student minister Nuri Muhammad and his family, we thank Allah for you, Brother Nuri, and all that you do and are doing in spreading this word of Islam. On behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his family, we thank you, dear minister, for all that you have done and are doing, you and your family, in spreading this mighty word of Islam. On behalf of the Executive Council of the Nation of Islam and their families, and we thank Allah for each and every one of you for all that you have done and are doing to aid and assist the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in spreading this word of Islam. On behalf of the ministers and imams who will mount those rostrums today and their families, I say to you, ministers, we thank Allah for you. Teach hard, ministers. On behalf of my co-host, Brother Akbar, Sister Nisa, Brother Jamil, Sister Majida, Brother Nasser, and Brother Shaheed, and on behalf of each and every one of you, let me leave you as I came to you with the greeting words of peace. Inshallah, we'll be talking again tomorrow. As-salamu alaykum.
سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Glory be to Allah, all praise to Allah. There is no God. is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim. Glory be to Allah.
Glory be to Allah.
All praise to Allah.
All praise to Allah.
There is no God but Allah. Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great. Subhanallah. Walhamdulillah. Wa la ilaha illallah. Wallahu akbar. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.